little bit intoxicated up here in the spirit. Now, just don't get that twisted. In the spirit. But if you'll turn to John chapter 14, I felt impressed to let you know and to remind you, and you may have heard this all your life. You may have seen it on bumper stickers. You may have, you know, heard others talk about it. But I have an announcement to make. Jesus is coming. Let me say that again. He's coming. But not just he's coming soon. Come on. Hallelujah. He's coming soon. There was a song that was sang several years ago, but people get ready. Jesus is coming. Come on. He's coming to take you away. Glory to God. Now, there was a movie series called up based on a book, Don't Be Left Behind. Right? Don't be left behind. It's too good, you know, it's too good to be true, but it's too good to pass up. Glory to God. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." How many believers do we have in here? Right? Amen. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And the word mansions there, it's in many translations, translated mansions. And people talk about, well, when I get to heaven, I got this mansion and it's got this and it's got that. It's going to be glorious. And okay, that's fine. But really what this word means is in the Father's house are many dwelling places. Are many dwelling places. In my Father's house, there's plenty of room. Let me say that again. In my Father's house, there's plenty of room. There's plenty of room for you. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the day when I get to go be with Him forever and ever and ever again. Right? I've had people just not too long ago, a great friend of mine, Tom, Pastor Tom, he passed away, and I was there when he passed away, and the next day I was a little jealous. Right? My heart is heavy because I'll miss him and all that, but a little jealous. Why? Because he's there. He's there. Glory to God. We've had so many who've gone on before us, but it's a cloud of witnesses to us just what God can do and what He has done and what He's going to continue to do. But listen, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, come on. I'm going, man. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I believe from eternity past there was a place for me in heaven, but it only came to fruition in my life when I said, "Jesus, I believe in you." But the moment that I did that, glory to God. Did you know that when I said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. I receive Him as my Savior." Did you know that heaven had a party? The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one person, I'm a one person. You know, whenever I read that in the Bible, in any place, all, you know, for whosoever, I'm a whosoever. So it applies to me and I have to apply it to my heart. I have to know that, yeah, He went away, but He's coming back. Glory to God. And whether He comes back and I go in the rapture or I'm here just and I pass away, the next second, the next breath is going to be one in eternity with Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen in verse 2 again. "My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you." That's not written to anybody but me, right? I mean, I take that personal. Yeah. I take that personal. When I'm reading this, Jesus is speaking to me. He said, "Bruce, listen, I want you to know, don't worry about anything. I've gone on before you, and I've prepared a place for you." How do you know you're going to heaven? Jesus told me I was. I said, Jesus told me I was. Hallelujah. And where I go, you know in the way you know. And then I love this. Thomas said to him, Lord, we're not understanding what you're saying. We don't know the way. We don't know what's going on here. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Come on. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. It's not your good works. It's not Buddha. It's not Hare Krishna. It's not, you know, meditating until you, you know, you go into some subconscious thing. Jesus is the only way, period, end of story. Glory to God. But it's not Jesus plus my interpretation of Jesus or my cultural thing. It's just Jesus. Jesus is the same in every nation for every culture, and he's different at the same time because he fits you where you are, right? I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about the things that don't matter. There's some people who worship Jesus sitting down. There's some people that worship Jesus standing up. There's some people that worship Jesus without instruments. There's some people, you know, that do all kinds of different things. Like if you were in a praise service in Africa, you might all be bouncing up and down as we're worshiping, right? Just some of you going, couldn't do that 30 years ago. I'm not going to do it now. But there are places in the world where they worship, but it's the same Jesus because he's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? What am I talking about this morning? He's coming, but he's coming for you. He's coming for me. Hallelujah. I'll just tell you a story. Renita and I went to Costa Rica, and we were there with a non-believing couple. And I'm not going to go into all the stories, but they knew that I was a pastor, and we were Christians, and there was a church that was actually right next door to their Airbnb or whatever, Airbnb type of place, right, that they had down there. But it was a Pentecostal church. So while they were building this thing, the whole time, the women would get there and some men, like at noon on Thursday, and they'd pray in the Holy Ghost for 4 or 5 hours, and next door they're pounding nails, but all of a sudden they're just hearing the praises of God and intercession for the land going on. And they were so disappointed that week that church wasn't meeting because they wanted to take us to it. But they said, they asked somebody, they said, oh, there's another one, a little village over. And so here we were packed in the car. We're going over there late at night. And we get in there and you know, everybody's worshiping God. Of course, in Spanish, they didn't worship God in English. I couldn't understand that. But in Spanish, but it's like whenever they were singing, some of the songs were close, so I'd just sing in English, but when I didn't know the words, I'd just pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit. And the anointing in that room was so strong, and the connection between us when we were introduced after the service was so strong because Jesus is, you know, is the one who puts us all together. Hallelujah. Our unity isn't in doctrine, our unity is in relationship. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Look at verse 28. You've heard me say to you that I'm going away. Right? Think about that. And just think about you've been walking with Jesus. You've been talking with Jesus. You've been doing all of that. And you've seen incredible things and thousands of people are following and flocking you, but you're one of the in crowd. And he says, listen, and another place said, it's really important that I go away. He said, you've heard me say that I'm going away. And you can imagine the emotion in that. What? 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 But listen to this next phrase. You've heard me say to you that I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. I mean, in a microcosm, you know, we as Christians, we have people that have gone on before us and that we loved, and we grieve the fact that we can't call them on the phone or talk to them. But as far as they're concerned, we should be rejoicing and not, right? I hate to disappoint you, but those loved ones that you think about and you go, man, I wish they were here, they don't. Right? If they're in heaven, they don't wish they were here. Come on. I'm not going back to that. Are you kidding me? Right? There's joy, there's peace, there's love, it's all here. But listen to this. The one who came is coming back again. But he's not coming back for anything but to get his bride and bring the bride back to his Father's house. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Sometimes I give my notes back to the booth so that they can get them up on the screen quicker. But sometimes they have to, you know, hire an interpreter to figure out the notes. They come up here, there is no 1 Thessalonians 14. Well, that's just an extra line. I meant 4, right? Glory to God. Jesus is coming soon, and he's coming for you. I said, Jesus is coming soon, and he's coming for you. He told me to tell you this morning, he's coming soon. And very soon. Every person that I've ever heard of that's had an experience where they're caught up into heaven, one of the messages inevitably is go back and tell my people I'm coming soon. Jesus is coming. People get ready. He's coming to take you home. Come on. He is. He is. Glory to God. So why am I saying that? Why am I bringing this up today? Is because we cannot let our hearts get discouraged. We cannot become overwhelmed with what we're seeing on the news or we're hearing, you know, about this and about that in the world, what's happening in Russia, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in Washington, D.C., my Lord, what's happening in Seattle, right? We cannot let that overcome us because we have to remember that Jesus is coming. But he's not just coming, he's coming for me. Everybody say that. Jesus is coming for me. Woo! Glory to God. Verse 16 says this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet him in the Lord of the air, and we shall thus be always with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. My purpose for tonight, or for this morning, is to bring you comfort. Glory to God. Jesus is coming, but he's coming for you. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you already have a space on the place that he's going to take you from this earth. It says, now this is really interesting, and some of the phraseology throughout the New Testament is he talks about he's coming for his bride. He's coming for his bride. But the culture of the Jewish of people was this, that you became betrothed to a woman first. And then there was a period of betrothal, and what that happened during that period of betrothal is that you went home, and usually at your father's place, you built a dwelling place where you could bring your bride to. Right? And so that period was, but the bride was, on the other hand, was sitting in her parents' house waiting for the groom to come. But the groom didn't say, well, I'll be there on, you know, January 12th at 2 o'clock. The bride didn't know when he was coming. But when he came to the to the bride's house. He didn't come by himself for the wedding. He came with a whole group of people. And they were blowing things and bangs, you know, banging pots, whatever, but making this announcement, here I am, I've come to get my bride and to bring her home because she now belongs with me. And I belong with him, or with her. See, Jesus is coming. He's been up there preparing everything for the right time, the right moment. But when he comes, he's going to split the eastern sky. And with a shout, he's going to say, come for my bride. Think about that. He's been built. Now, we think it's been 2,000 years. But the Lord says that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So he's only been gone a couple of days. Right? But he's coming. Hallelujah. He's coming. But he's coming for you and for me. But here's what the bride did while she was waiting. She prepared herself for the experience of being with her husband. The best place that this is actually brought out in the scripture is Esther. Esther was brought in as one of the virgins for the king to take the place of the queen. She was a candidate for that. Well, for a full year before she could enter into the king's chamber, the eunuchs had to prepare her for that. And what they did is they'd give her certain baths and certain oils and just condition the skin and make her as pretty as possible. I believe that the Father has been getting us ready to go be with him. He said, I'm coming for a bride, but I'm coming for a bride that is without spot and without wrinkle. If you'll let the Holy Spirit, he wants to work on you because your time of departure is at hand because the groom is coming for the bride. Hallelujah. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians and verse 1 says, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord has come as will come as a thief in the night. In other words, we don't know. We don't know. Years ago, and some of you were saved in the period that these movies were out, but there was a movie called The Thief in the Night. And it was an adaptation of the scene of the rapture where people were left behind and the world went crazy because all of these people left. Right? And the reality is that he's coming for his bride, but when he comes for his bride, there's going to be lots of people left who didn't make Jesus the Lord of their life, and they're going to have to go through the wrath of God. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be gnashing and wailing, and it's going to be an awful time. But here's the good news. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you won't go through that wrath. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because he's coming for us. He's coming for us. Verse 3 says, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, then they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that as this day should overtake you as a thief. I'm different than they are. You're different than they are. Glory to God. But let me tell you, every man-made attempt to bring the peace that's talked about here will always fail. Right? Think about the different governments that have been established to be a utopia for people. Did you know that even the Communist Party was such that we've been living under this oppression, and what we're going to do is we're going to make a party that everybody's equal, so everybody will be happy. The problem is that there are people in there. and people without God, and people who are greedy, and people who are operating in the flesh. There's never going to be true peace until the Prince of Peace comes and steps down onto the Mount of Olives and establishes his throne in the city of Jerusalem. And then that peace is going to be interrupted at the time. But here's what I'm saying. Jesus is coming. He's coming for us, but we must be ready. Yeah. You know, we must be ready. How many of you do certain things in your home, not that you're expecting a thief, but you want to be ready for a thief? Right? I'm not going to ask you how many have, you know, AR-15s under your bed or anything like that. But what I'm saying is you lock your doors. Right? Okay, these people don't. But anyway, you do certain things, right? You make sure that you're not leaving your car open with an expensive thing right on the front seat and saying, here you are. A sign up front going, hey, you want it, it's yours. Right? You do things to protect yourself against the thief. And God wants us to be aware that he's coming so that we prepare ourselves and protect ourselves for the day that's coming. Glory to God. In other words, one of the fears that I've had is like, Lord, I know that you're coming, and it could be just like that. In the twinkling of an eye, just snapping us out of here, right? He's coming. It could be right now. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, before I finish the service, poof, we're all gone. But watch this. In fact, David Frank, who was here last week, and he's now in Ohio, he said his dad was in church during the worship service up front praying and fell dead. I thought, what a better place to be, right? I mean, I've got it covered. There's no issues, right? And so it's always been like, Lord, don't come if I'm in the middle of doing something that I shouldn't be doing, right? Right? Don't come at that point. But the reality is that should be motivation for us to do the right thing. Come on. Amen. I want my daddy to catch me doing the right thing rather than the wrong thing. Now, don't misunderstand me. He loves us. He takes care of our inadequacies. He covers a multitude of sin, all of that. But at the same time, if I'm going to be ready, I want to be ready. So I want to have my heart ready. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I really thoroughly enjoyed worship this morning. The presence of God was just thick and powerful, still is. That's the kind of atmosphere I'd like to be in when he comes. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, but I can't go to church every day, but you can go into his presence every day. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Right? Thank you, Lord. I just want to be in his presence when he comes. But he's coming. He's coming. Are you comforted with that? Come on, are you comforted with that? When life begins to stress you out, and when tribulation starts to take you over, and when things don't work right, and the car breaks down, and the appliances go out, just begin to worship him. In spite of everything, this person disappointed me, that one left me, and my body isn't working like it used to. Hallelujah. 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 My body may be hurting, and even my time might be short. But I have this confidence that there's going to be a day when I'm going to put off this mortality and I'm going to put on immortality. And there'll be no more pain or no more suffering and no more, because that'll all be over. How many of you ever been around somebody that you've watched suffer and suffer for years before they passed, and you thought, oh Lord, their suffering is over. And if they knew Jesus, they're in a better place. Well, if they didn't know Jesus, their suffering is not over. It's just beginning, right? There's the reality of that also. Those folks that are without Jesus are in hell. Yeah. But we're not talking about that. He's coming for those who are ready. If you're not ready, get ready, because the reality is He's coming. And we better be ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. That means to be aware, to be mindful, to be of your right mind and your right heart, and have your mind filled with the love of God and with the mind of Christ. Verse 7 says, for those who sleep are asleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Let each of us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and have the helmet of salvation. For the God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, we got to put on Christ. We have to have a full understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. And our reality to be with Christ is based on Jesus. Amen? Verse 10, who died for us, whether awake or asleep, that we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other with these words and edify one another, just as you are doing. Come on. Jesus is coming. He's coming for me. Don't let what you're going through down here affect what's happening over you in heaven. Glory to God. All of the angels are rejoicing with you. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. I don't really want to get too deep into it, but He's coming, first of all, for His saints. And then there's going to be a period where we're up in heaven with Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then there's a day coming after that He's going to come back down, and He's going to come with His bride to set up His kingdom on this earth. Right? I want to be up there at the wedding supper of the Lamb and not down here having to have my head cut off in order to be up there, right? I want to be on this side, and I am because of Jesus. But look at chapter 24, and let's go to verse 36. Matthew 24 and verse 36. He said, but of the day or the hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, and so will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in these days before the flood there was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Just think about that for a minute. Think about Noah for just a minute. He's out there and he's building this ark. Just think of Bill Cosby. That's not a very, politically correct name now, but Bill Cosby used to do this comedy thing about the ark. And big voice, build me an ark. What's an ark? It's a boat. What's a boat? You know, and he says, it's going to flood. What's a flood? It's going to rain. What's rain? Because none of that had ever been. Up to that point, the water had come up from the earth. It didn't drop down from the sky, right? But he flooded. But think about all the people for 100 years walked by the boat. Hey, Noah, what you doing? Building a boat. Why? Because it's going to flood. What's a flood? Right? But they're going through life, and I can imagine some of look at that dude. Look at what he's doing. Look at how he's living. Look at now this guy is nuts because he's going out wrangling a pair of each animal and bringing them to the boat. He's nuts, right? So life was happening. People were marrying. People were singing. People were partying. People were doing whatever they're doing. But there was one day that came that only he and his family got into the boat because those were the only ones that repented and received the salvation that God prepared for them. And he shut the door. And the moment that that door was shut, it was too late. And all of those who were a day before singing and dancing and the rain started to coming, let me into the boat. It's too late when the flood happens. You have to be ready before the flood. Right? And so here's the day of Noah, and it says in these days it'll be just like that. So we can't worry about those who are on the outside of Christ that aren't receiving Christ and are trying to question your faith and make you feel stupid or whatever. If you have the Word of God and you're standing on the Word of God, stand on the Word of God and be safe in the boat that is the Word of God, because there's going to be lots of people who are saying, man, that's foolish, that's old, that's done away with. But I'm telling you, this is the truth right here. I said, this is the truth. And we have to stand on the truth. We have to be in the truth because we are the ones who are of the light and not of the darkness. Verse 47 says, assuredly I say to you, excuse me, I'm in the right place. Wait a minute. Okay, now I got it. But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so that also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And then it says, two men will be in the field, and one man will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, the other left. Watch there, for you do not know the hour that your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect it. So what I'm saying is that we need to live like we really are the bride, and we have to be ready. Glory to God. Again, go back to that Jewish woman who's waiting for the husband to come get her. I think she spent that year getting the dress just right. She knew what makeup she was going to wear, what jewelry she was going to have, and she had it laid out. She said, because I don't want to pack it away somewhere where it's not going to be there, because I want to be ready the minute that he comes. I got the bags by the door and I'm ready to go. Right? So what I'm saying is that we need to have our hearts that way. Jesus, I'm ready. But not just ready for you to take me away from all of my misery. But I want my heart right with you so that I can be ready to be in your presence, because I believe what you said, that you're coming. And Lord, I'm coming home with you. Amen. Is anybody ready? Anybody not ready? Right? If you're not ready, you got to get ready. Listen, this is so serious, and I'm so serious. If you're watching on the internet or you're here in the room and you don't know Jesus, you've never made him the Lord of your life, then you're not ready. And if he came this instant, you'd be left behind. glory to God. But if you'll make Him the Lord of your life, the only way to heaven is Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. But it's not just taking Jesus as your ticket to escape, but it's to take Jesus as your Lord and your Savior and your Master, and with your whole heart live for Him. Glory to God. If you're not in that place, then you're not ready, and it's time for us to get ready. There's a whole group of people who have one time been in this church and many churches like this, and they've been in the church and they've been a part of the church. They've sang the songs and they may have even said a prayer about making Jesus the Lord of their life. And I'm not the judge, but I'm telling you that there are some of those people who are not ready to go. And my heart is that you be ready, that we get ready. I'm praying so much for this nation and believing God for this nation. I believe that He can do it again. He can bring another wave of an awakening that will just bring people back to the realization of how much we need Jesus. But if you're there and you've never made Him the Lord of your life, right now, just do it. Right now, right here. If you're in the room, we're going to pray a prayer together. If you'll mean it from your heart, if you'll believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth, He'll do it. So let's just pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to be ready at your coming. And the only way we can be ready is to have Jesus as our Lord. So Lord, we acknowledge that without Jesus, we cannot come into your home. So I accept that Jesus is my Lord. I receive Him into my heart. And Lord, I ask You to give me the strength, to give me the plan, so that I can live for Him for the rest of my life. Lord, I dedicate myself to You right now. I lay down everything that will keep me from running the race that You put before me. From this moment, I will serve You with all my heart. And Lord, as Christians, if we've been slack in our worship of You, in our understanding of who You are, in our pursuit of Your goodness and Your holiness, we repent right now. Forgive us, God. We're turning around. We're coming back to You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for joining us online. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.